Hello, and welcome to another episode of Ray's Musical Reviews, where we talk about, well, music, hosted by Green Day Jared.
I can live with that. That's better than Dookie Jared, personally.
Nimrod Jared.
Still better than Dookie Jared.
KP. I was trying to find up a name for you.
No gimmick needed, KP.
Yes. Yes.
I am the titular Ray of Ray's Music Reviews. I am your host. I'm the one who tells everyone what to do, why they suck.
Your favorite songs are better than ours. I mean, in all fairness, you have presented us with quite a good album this week.
We are doing Ween's The Mollusk. Ween is a, think they're from Pennsylvania. They are a Pennsylvania group comprised of Gene and Dean Ween.
Is that their Christian names?
No. Basically, they have been hailed as one of the, probably one of the most eclectic bands I've ever heard, ever in anything.
For its time period.
Even if, like, this is probably the most mainstream album they've ever made. Even if you want to, like, the only thing I'd really compare them to, like, if we're just going, like, eclectic is, like, King Gizzard, but even then, like, they never...
Not quite this much.
No, King Gizzard never really went this deep into the experimental direction.
No, see, King Gizzard, and I'll talk about them at the end of the podcast, that they put out a new album, but they kind of rotate around psychedelic rock.
And this new album, and even the new album they put out, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Like, it's the closest they've ever come to, like being, like, latching onto a sound.
Yeah.
We never did that.
No, this album's a little all over the place in a very positive way, I think.
It's just like the cover. It's a bunch of sloppy put together fish and animal and just stuff.
But it's stunning in a way that I can't quite take my attention away from.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. This album actually inspired SpongeBob SquarePants.
They used the television song, show. Yeah.
They used the show. It genuinely, like, inspired the series.
Which
was huge.
Incredible.
That show for me was a huge influence on my sense of humor. Just because I watched it a lot when I was, like, 5 or 6.
Shit, I've watched it somewhat consistently throughout my whole life. Especially the early seasons. It's a really good show.
Yeah, I can't... I'm not so deep into the show where I go into the conspiracy theories where Squidward has clinical depression, but...
No.
But,
You will recognize the song Ocean Man from the credits to the SpongeBob movie.
Which I also watched when I was like 6.
Yes. It's what most people kind of remember from that movie. Also the David Hasselhoff bits.
David Hasselhoff.
The David Hasselhoff bits SpongeBob. Were weird because they were marketing towards like 6-year-olds and 6-year-olds would not know who David Hasselhoff
was. Like, that's always the funny thing about children's media when they reference like James Bond or whatever, and it's like, dude, this is for like 7-year-olds.
Like, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna say a YouTube name here. Well, when Tobuscus did like the, what was it? Was it the Diamond Sword song, and they made like a tax joke?
And it's like, dude,
this is a Minecraft parody, bro.
This is for 12-year-olds who don't do taxes or know who James Bond is.
SpongeBob has a lot of
stuff
adults can listen to and find funny.
A lot of children's cartoons do. It makes it like way more bearable for the parents
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the David Hasselhoff bit's really funny in that movie. It gets more funny with time as I know who David Hasselhoff like actually is.
David Hasselhoff is a incredibly crazy figure in the history of the planet.
It's wild that he's just in the SpongeBob movie as a lifeguard.
Well, and two, like, you have a guy that was on like The Edge of Night or something, a soap opera, and then he turns into the guy with the car that talks,
Knight Rider,
you know, and that's a huge thing for him.
Yeah.
And then he starts Baywatch on his own.
Yeah.
And the concept is just so, well, let's do like women running on the beach, guys in shorts, action.
License to print money.
Yeah, and then soap opera stuff around it. And that becomes like one of the more popular like syndicated TV shows in the history of man, and then somehow he's a pop star in like Germany or something.
It's wild. And then he's in the SpongeBob
and he'll perform movie. In like a stadium, and he's not like, I mean, he's also been, I want to, he was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
At what point was he
on like off Broadway?
That's crazy.
Yeah, him and like Sebastian Bach from Skid Row are like two of the names that are in that list. Yeah. It's wild. And dude, we'll play in front of a stadium of people with limited singing talent and go out there and rock it with his shirt unbuttoned. Killing it.
To this day.
Yes. Tomorrow, if you need be.
Probably not tomorrow.
Yeah. But as soon as the pandemic's over there, they're putting 100,000 people in a room and David Hasselhoff's going out there with his belly button showing. Let's go.
And his pecs are like mechanical.
Yeah.
and he's got that wrestling baby oil thing going.
Oh, yeah.
It's on. Talk about the album?
Yeah,
or you want
to just keep talking about it? At some point, this stopped being a music podcast, and it was just us kind of
David Hasselhoff
about, yes,
tribute about, like, video.
Appreciation.
Continued just some form of a perm mullet thingy.
For
through ever? Time. Pompadour
it,
thing.
It went out of style and then has come back in style. And he's still rocking.
No, he goes, if you're good looking, nothing's ever out of style.
Yeah, you're honestly right. Anyways, this album is, I really enjoyed it. All right, I give it an 8 out of 10. We'll see you next time.
Should we get into the questions? Should I just generally talk about it?
Have fun.
I really like the opener. I'm dancing in the snow
show tonight.
I always misread it as snow tonight.
Yeah.
If it was snow tonight, it would be different.
Kind of. But I think it's a really funny parody. I especially like it when She Wants It to Leave, where it's just kind of a less goofy version of the instrumental to Dancing in the Show Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a great little parody thing. And to the audacity to instantly kick that into the psychedelic masterpiece of the Mollusk.
Dude, I was so prepared. It's weird how the tone shift is so... It just shifts into it, but at the same time, I feel like I was totally prepared because of the way I'm dancing in the show tonight kind of sets it up. Like, I kind of...
It lets you know this could go anywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Like, when I first listened to it and I put it on, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, you had kind of, like, alluded to what they were like, but when I listened to it, I was like, oh, okay. They're going to be an eclectic. It's going to be all over the place. It's going to have some weird musical... influences. It's going to be fun and exciting, and every new song was a new experience. And the Mosque was a fantastic way to like kick that right off. I love the psychedelic stuff on this album.
The guitar work on this record doesn't sound like normal guitar work, but it is incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
Unique.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really like Polka Dot Tail. Of course, yes. I really like I'll Be Your Johnny on the Spot.
Dude, Johnny on the Spot. Like, I'm gonna...
It's the jam.
This album, again, every new song that I, like, got into, I felt was so, so fun and unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, Polka Dot Tail, banger. Not traditionally,
Polka
perhaps,
Dot Tail, first of all, sounds like a polka.
Yes.
But, like, a rockabilly polka, it's great, like you said. And, go ahead.
I love the wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
In I liked a lot of the wordplay across this whole album. Just the way they phrase things is so interesting. Like in The Mollusk, where he asks if it emulates the sound of the ocean. I just love the phrasing of that. I love the line, have you ever tried to shrink like an ice cube in the sink? A lot of these lyrics, they make me feel, and they make me think about how it makes me feel, which is kind of what you really want psychedelic stuff to be like. Where right. It's just, you're like, whoa.
It needs to feel complicated.
An ice cube in the sink, it got me thinking. I was like, well, traditionally, when an ice cube melts, we say that it's gone. But it's not gone.
No.
Maybe it did just shrink. And maybe it just changed into water. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, what if I die, is that it for me? Or have I just changed?
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Straight. I literally had that whole thought process just because of that one line in the song, and I want to speak to that as like a strength of the album.
Yeah.
For just being like, oh yeah,
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cool.
I also really like Mutilated Lips. I've always loved Mutilated Lips. It's one of it is one of the stranger songs on the album.
Yeah, which is a high bar. Considering some of the others, yeah.
But it gets immediately followed by a song that's much stranger in The Blarney Stone.
The Blarney Stone did, out of all the songs on the album, did kind of blindside me the most, that it's like an Irish.
It's so funny.
It is.
It's so funny.
It's so out of nowhere after all this like psychedelic stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, what if we did like an Irish sea shanty? Mm-hmm. And it's like, damn. Yeah. I'm so into it.
It's Gonna Be Alright is another great one. The Golden Eel is really good.
That's probably, again, that's The Golden Eel might be my favorite song off the album, just because I love the way it sounds, and I cannot reveal the words of the Golden Eel. And it's like, in the song, it sounds so meaningful, but I can also picture in my head just like a dude sitting in his like living room, and there's just like a toy little eel sitting on the table. Mm-hmm. He's just like staring at it intently for hours because he took something. I like it. I like that part as well.
Cold Blows the Wind is another great one. Yes. Most of these songs are great. Pink Eye on My Leg is probably my least favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird. Like, and like, it's not a good weird, like the rest of the weird on this album is.
I forget. Yeah, the song after.
The song afterwards, Waving My Meat in the Wind, I really like.
It goes back to that, the very strange.
It's meant,
but funny adjacent. It's not always like comedic in terms of jokes, but it's just like conceptually funny in like a Frank Zappa kind of way.
If that There's makes a lot sense. Of Frank Zappa to this.
I looked up Ween because I was curious as to like what they had said their influences were, and they denied being Zappa influenced, though they did say that like Mothers of Invention, which was a Zappa project, or at least had Zappa in it. I'm not sure how much of that was actually just like him.
Yeah.
They said that they did enjoy Mothers of Invention, but not much post Mothers Zappa stuff. But yeah, no, I do see, feel like the same core there of like comedic, but also really talented.
And I especially like this, this 4-song run they have starting from Waving My Meat in the Wind all the way, yes, to She Wanted to Leave. That's probably my favorite run of the album.
Buckingham Green's really good.
Buckingham Green is phenomenal.
Do you with Lindsey Buckingham and Green, like, didn't Lindsey replace Green in Fleetwood Mac? Isn't that an odd Buckingham Green placement?
Huh.
Makes you think.
It's interesting, right?
It is. It's, yeah. It's a coinkydink.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out because, again, like tracing the little influences back in like Buckingham Green in particular, but in a couple other songs, you hear like pseudo prog rock. Mm-hmm. Like there were some sections where I was like, I could literally in my mind picture Geddy Lee singing this in a Rush song or something like it. It's not that far off,
or like
conceptually.
Like that one you're talking about earlier, Johnny on the Spot, almost feels like Reverend Horton Heat or Cake meets Ramones.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's like, wow. You're dead on with that, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of, I thought it was fascinating. Though it's a fun ride, the whole record.
Ocean Man is probably my favorite song on the album. Because it's such a, it's almost achieved meme status, but not really.
It's still so fun to listen to.
It's just perfect. And when that solo kicked in, it was just transcendent.
So good. It's the lyrics are a little nonsensical, and I say that in a positive way because at some point the way he says them and the cadence with which he says them is almost like an instrument of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It falls into that category, which is so good.
Absolutely.
So good. I'm just vibing, man. This whole album, I was just vibing. Let's go.
And She Wanted to Leave is probably my second favorite song on the album. It just kind of blows me away that they made a pirate psychedelic ballad work and work so effectively. When it slows down, it just, bam! It just hits you in the gut really hard. when it slows down. It's like, why? Yeah?
No, I was thinking of, I wanted to give a special shout out to the song, Cold Blows in the Wind. Cold Blows the Wind. Yeah. Because it's a reinterpretation of an English folk song, and it's just really pretty. It kind of takes a break from, I guess, the almost comedic portion, where it's just like, it's really pretty. I really enjoy it. It's really interesting to listen to. It was awesome. I never get bored with this album, man.
Right.
They made the entire thing work.
They threw
everything out the wall, and it all consecutively worked in different places.
It's kind of crazy. And again, just due to like the pacing of the album is really good too. Mm-hmm. It's like I never get the feeling like I do with certain albums of being a little worn out. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, let's go. What's next? What can I jam to next? So how are we feeling about
this? I feel like I'm just gonna say something. This album is not, I wouldn't say criticized, but I will say kind of a little underlooked within like the Ween fan base, because it is the closest thing they ever made to a mainstream album.
Yeah, when you get bands like that where it's just like, oh, are you like Rush fans can be like that? Dude, are you like 2112 or, you know, whatever? And it's like, yeah, it's a great album.
Oh, dude, Rush is, they have so many.
Yeah, they have a lot of banger albums, but it's like, it's also totally fine if you like their most, quote, mainstream album.
Well, that's just a thing with most bands and all their fan bases.
It's like, except Blue Album?
No. No one in the Weezer.
Everybody likes Blue Album.
No, every Weezer fan likes the Blue Album. Yeah. There is no. You're never gonna hear a Weezer fan say that. All right, the Green Album, Green Album. That's one thing, but you're never gonna hear a Weezer fan.
Are you certain that there aren't any like Pinkerton specific Weezer fans where they die on the hill for Pinkerton? And
well, I'm one of them. And
fair enough.
Well, I don't. Well, people like that also love Blue. You know, like...
Valid.
With Weezer... Oh, this is a different conversation, all right.
Go ahead, though.
The conversation we'll get into after we give this album a rating. I'm giving this a 9 out of 10.
I'll give it, like, an 8.5, I think. It's close to a 9, though, because it's just... It's so fun. I just really enjoy it as an album listening experience.
Dad, what are you giving it?
Give it a 7.
That's fair.
7.
I enjoyed it.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's what I expected. Well, I didn't say
KP shoots hard.
I think a 7's a pretty good score.
No.
I've just given things that I really, really, really like an 8.
That's absolutely valid. You know? That's always the thing with how rating systems shake out. It's like, if you give anything a 7, people in their mind are just like, oh, it's garbage. It's not worth listening to. And it's right, like, that's not true at all.
But how can I like, give I, everything a 9?
That as well.
Where's the, you know, the ceiling is the floor?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's why people get mad. It's like, oh, an album gets a 6 or whatever. And it's like, a 6 is still not a bad album score.
Right, and I gave this a 7, and it's trash.
Exactly. Yeah, no. No.
That's how I felt in that Living Color album.
But there were a couple tracks on there that I just didn't...
Yeah, that's fair.
...care for, but, you know, 2 tracks out of a bunch is completely different. I really liked a lot of it.
It's just, it's really up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, a band I kind of compared it to, and I don't think it's the world's best comparison, but I do like a Tally Hall. You know what I mean when I say that, right?
Ween are almost uncomparable to anyone, so it's kind
of it's weird. But that kind of like eclectic, off rock, not psychedelic in terms of like how Tally Hall works, but just like mixing older musical styles.
I do think too that when you're listening to something like this a first, second, third time in like 3 or 4 days, you spend time, which isn't fair to the music, trying to figure out what it reminds you of, where instead of just immersing yourself in what they're trying to do, oh, that reminds me of this reminds me of that, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And sometimes you have to be able to step away to come back to it to really get the gist, and you can't really do that in a week.
Dude, there's a video I watched this week, and it was titled "All My Homies Hate Dubstep," and it was a video essay on what happened to dubstep, and there is this moment, and please watch the video. It's a very interesting video.
It popped up in my recommended.
There is a segment in there where it's like, I miss when I could just hear something that reminded me of nothing and it just kind of blew me away. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about how he was introduced to dubstep. And then he talked about like Burial and stuff, but then he went over to Skrillex and said this is how it started to suck. You could never but yeah. So back into the conversation of the elitist.
Yes.
I will say this. There are some people who say, oh, Pinkerton's S tier, nothing else is really S tier. Like, they will say, oh, Pinkerton's S, blue, white, A, and then everything below.
Everything garbage.
Everything is garbage.
G, yes, for garbage.
But there are also some people who are like, oh, the first two albums are really good, the rest is just different shades of awful.
I've noticed most of these opinions are all pretty hardline. Which, I mean, when you get into an online community like that, it's weird how so many of the opinions just become very hardline. Not even just in music, just in general.
Well, with Weezer, they've just put out so many albums, and there's so...
A lot of them not
well-liked. Dude, some people will say that they haven't released a good album since 96. Other people will tell you that other people will defend the worst of the worst. It's a minefield.
Yeah.
Now, this will turn into a video essay on why I despise Reddit.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
What have we been listening to?
New King Gizzard. I like it. I didn't listen to all of it. I was only able to listen to a little chunk of it, but it does start off... Yeah, it
came
off,
out, what, Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been working the past couple days.
Well, Thursday at midnight, so...
Yeah, Friday. Yeah. So Friday. So I didn't even know it came out until, like, I was at work last night.
Mm-hmm.
So going home, I listened to some of it. It starts off with one of my favorite songs of theirs, If Not Now, Then When. It was the single they put out. Dude, that song's great.
It is good. Very good.
I love
good.
The message of it. I love the presentation of it. It's just awesome.
We listened to a little bit of that yesterday.
Yes. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, again, I've been running through King Gizzard's discography. They are a massively talented band.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else you listen to?
How about you go first? Because I need to remember if I listen to anything else.
You should probably go for the singles we listened to that day.
I know you've been doing the listening to the pop charts. Did you do that this week?
I didn't do that too much today. I listened to a song by H period E period R period
her.
Yeah.
But like stylized, yeah.
Yeah, and two songs by her that were pretty cool. I kind of went to that area, but who's this guy? He was kind of cool. Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow. Why is that name so familiar?
He's the dude who made the What's Poppin' song.
Yeah. Well, his song was recommended on the What's Poppin' area. Tyler Hero, who's a basketball player for the Miami Heat, so that was kind of interesting. Ariana Grande, Positions. I got about halfway through that.
Not a big fan. Not a Grande head.
No,
they call Grande fans.
To be completely honest, I saw that the recommendation right beside it was Tyler Hero, so I was like, oh, let's try that out. So I just kind of slipped over. Teardrops, Bring Me the Horizon.
Good song. Bring Me the Horizon are a very overhated band.
Yeah, they're heavy. Now, the Black Crowes released a box set this week, and it doesn't come out like physically. I can't get access to it till later, but it is fantastic. It's goes with 30 years of Shake Your Moneymaker, along with a couple of demos, a couple of cover songs that they recorded at that time period, a song that didn't make the album, and then another live record that they did from their last show of the year once that album made it, where in Atlanta, hometown show, boom boom boom. So that was really cool. I bought Jeff Beck Group, like a 1969 The Truth record with Jeff Beck, Ronnie Wood, Rod Stewart in a band together.
Shit.
Yeah, it's really good. Really. Yeah, Jeff Beck's one of the best.
Should we talk about the singles?
Yes. That
you listen to on the car.
Green Day.
There's Green Day. Okay, I made a really funny joke that you didn't acknowledge.
It was a Jared drive.
I made a funny joke that you didn't acknowledge, and that joke was when Green Day went on, it stopped there was kind of a problem with how it was going, so nothing was playing for a while, and I said, Green Day's new experimental ambient music is really boundary pushing. And that was really funny, but you then laugh because you haven't been introduced to people who listen to nothing but ambient music.
Oh yeah, baby. Brian Eno, Airport Music.
Burial.
Burial.
What did we listen to though on the way? We listened to Green Day song. We listened to a little bit of the King Gizzard,
and then Mom said that it sucked. And
well, your mom has terrible taste.
Well, also though, I think we had fast forwarded over to a different band altogether by then. She was not into that.
Yeah. Oh, we also listened to the new Offspring song.
Right, you're a big Offspring guy.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
big time.
I need to know what gave you that impression so I can never do it again.
The new Offspring song was not great, by the way.
It was off. Why is it so clean? Mm-hmm. Why the Offspring were never meant to be clean.
And
I'm sorry, even like the songs that I like from their clean era, like Pretty Fly for a White Guy, I'm just kind of like, oh, come on, it's nice.
The sloppiness is nice. The point. One thing Chris Robinson did a bunch of interviews for the box set that's coming out, and he kind of said that, you know, kind of we're a rock band. Kind of the point of what we do is sloppy, and we were allowed to do that.
Offspring are a punk band. Mm-hmm. That's what they were. You could say that they were a better produced punk band, but they're still a California punk band.
Mm-hmm.
That's still what they originated from.
Mm-hmm.
And diving into the mainstream killed them. Like, because, and say what you want to, I like Pretty Fly for White Guy. It's a pretty all right song. Like, and some of the other songs they did around that time was okay. But they had some 2000s stuff that, like, relied on, like, joke interludes and that were just awful and not funny. And, like, just cleaning up their sound ruined them. It's like a slightly worse Aerosmith. We're cleaning up their
hard sound. On Aerosmith is... Todd, let's go.
Who had nothing to do with this conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they don't, and they also kind of do. When you're talking about, like, bands that went mainstream in the late 90s and early 2000s and killed their sound and made me angry, Aerosmith are certainly one of the three artists that come up in that conversation. And
are you saying that you did not like the... Oh, my God. What was that movie? I don't want to close my eyes.
The Armageddon.
Armageddon. Thank
that's
you.
That's the one song.
I don't want to close my eyes.
But when it comes to
I don't
that
want to fall asleep. Because I'd miss you, baby.
But when it comes to that,
I don't
want to
miss a thing.
Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, don't want to miss a thing.
Okay, don't want to miss a thing. Okay, yeah.
Because when it comes to that specific song, it's kind of like, oh, it's cheesy, but come, be nice.
Classic.
Come on, man.
That's Bruce mean. Willis.
How many number one songs in the world did you write? While they were ruining their sound, cashing checks.
Were they? Were they?
They probably were.
They were.
I think that song was legitimately number one in the entire world.
Like, don't want to miss a thing? Yeah.
I really like that song. You know what I
mean? Pink, maybe.
Pink,
but nobody,
come on.
Nobody
my favorite color.
Nobody remembers Pink fondly. Pink was made for middle schoolers mm-hmm. to laugh at. Like, no one...
Pink is my favorite crayon.
I don't think you're helping your case.
Like the pillow you lay on or something like that?
It's what?
Great.
New Caro Caro Benito single that I just now saw this 1 second, which I am unbelievably excited for. I love KKB. I've really enjoyed everything they've put out since Benito Generation. I really liked Time and Place. I really liked their little EP, Civilization 1. I'm super excited for what they'll do next. I even liked the Bugsnax song.
Excellent.
Which I thought, again, I've said that before, but I think it's really funny because Benito Generation 2016 was like bubblegum pop, J-pop, that kind of ballpark. Then they went, for Time and Place, they went into like a noise rock direction. And then for, like, one song for the Bugsnax game, they went back to J-pop. It threw me so hard where I was just like, wait, they can't be, like, a noise rock band making a song for Bugsnax. And then I went back and I was like, oh yeah, no, yeah, they just went back to Benito Generation, which is fine, it's great, but it threw me off. It's like if someone did a heel
time turn. And place is the Pinkerton to Benito Generation's Blue.
It literally is. It is. I really do like Time and Place. I'm a big Time and Place defender. Logged on. But no, it's just like if a wrestler does like a face turn from being a heel, and then randomly he comes out like 2 months in and just like hits someone with a chair, and it's never mentioned again. It reminds me. That's what that reminds me of, where it's just like a sudden flip back to the past before immediately pivoting back to the future.
Right, right, right. Now, I did listen to a little bit of the Judas and the Black Messiah, the inspired album, because that's where the first her song I heard that made me go back, and when I saw that recommended for me today on the pop area, I popped on it. Fight For You is good off that. They got a song by Nas off there and a song by Black Thought off there. A Nipsey Hussle and Jay-Z song on there. All were pretty cool. Fun. Fun would be the wrong term, but you know what I'm saying. They're all good. I mean, it's not a fun movie. People's dying. It's not a fun movie. But the music's good.
What's that one Judgment Day soundtrack you gave me?
Judgment Night.
Judgment Night.
Talk about that last week?
I think we talked about it a little in the Record Store video, but I don't think we'd like talked about it like in depth.
Oh god, the Judgment Night CD. Have you ever heard of this thing? You don't like rap rock?
No.
All right, listen.
I like it when it's good.
I like it when it's good, so never.
listen to these pairings. Helmet and the House of Pain.
Okay.
Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul.
Okay.
Living Color and Run DMC.
Okay.
Biohazard and Onyx.
I don't know either of those bands.
Slayer and, you know, Onyx. Slam. Do 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 do. Let the boys be boys. Slam.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's all I know though.
Slayer and Ice-T.
Okay. I like Ice-T.
Well, you've heard Body Count, right?
Yeah.
Faith No More and the Booyah Tribe. Sonic Youth and Cypress Hill. Mudhoney and Sir Mix-a-Lot. Dinosaur Jr. Dell, the Funky Homo Sapien. Cypress Hill and Pearl Jam. The movie was trash. The album is awesome.
There have been movies like that for sure.
Oh, tons of them. We actually on the
like okay. The thing yesterday. Should I talk a little bit about the soundtrack because I did listen to it.
Yes.
The Sir Mix-a-Lot Mudhoney song. Do not listen to it. It is actual dumpster juice.
Oh.
The Sonic Youth Cypress Hill song is actually very weird, but it's not like a good weird or a bad weird. It's just kind of weird, because Sonic Youth are like noise rock. Everything else is good. The Living Color Run DMC song was really good. The House of Pain
Helmet
song was good too. The rest of it was varying levels of good. Slayer Ice-T song was questionable, but still good. Yeah, that's pretty much my review, except for some trash. It was good.
Yeah, that's most things, though.
Yes. All right, so what's next?
So next week we are doing Bright Eyes. I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning. I really like this album. It's good. Yeah, it's good singer. It's good singer-songwriter folk. I'm probably underselling it, but I don't really know what else to say. What else we will say? We will come back to you next week.
We'll have strong opinions.
Strong.
Yes.
So strong. Yeah,
I cannot imagine that you guys are going to have super strong opinions on.
We'll see.
Which is why we wanted to do a pod on it, so we could not have opinions.
We could do something we can't have opinions on. Like some Limp Bizkit.
I will have a strong opinion on Limp Bizkit.
Like maybe some
Chocolate Stardust.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Maybe and some the Flamin' mindless, Hot Dogs.
Maybe some, mainly some mindless self-indulgence.
Huh? Oh God.
Well,
huh? Some homophobia hop.
So is that a? So is that a? Is that a? is that a rap? Go Home Heat Production, copyright 2021.
Go Home.
I forgot. Go to the Ginn Project. Buy some stuff. Thanks for the sponsorship. Appreciate it.